Tim Montgomery joins us on Sports Byline. His story, at one time, he was the fastest man on the planet, the world record holder in the 100 meters, and the winner of gold, silver, and bronze medals in the Olympics and World Championships, but it all came crashing down into an end with his two-year ban for using performance-enhancing drugs, convictions for check fraud, drug dealing, and a prison sentence. And he's now restarting his life as a family man and building a new career coaching athletes of all ages and disciplines in his new venture, Numa Speed. Tim, in reflection, which has been harder, trying to break the world record or trying to redeem yourself?
By far, trying to redeem myself. The world record was based on my performance, my effort, my will. Trying to redeem yourself is based on people and their opinion and how they take you and how they perceive you as being. So it's just been one step at a time.
Is it frustrating sometimes because a lot of that, the redeeming yourself, is out of your control?
Well, at first it did, because people look at different situations, different people. Take for instance, a rapper. If a rapper sells drugs, talks about taking drugs, women degrading, he's a celebrity. If an athlete get in trouble and redeems himself and talk about good things, he's still bad. So when you look at the two, and I look at myself, I have to pull myself back and say, how do my family perceive me? That's the mindset I'm trying to change. My kids, my wife, my mother and father, my sister and brother, my aunts and uncle. How do they perceive me now? And that's how I go forward.
Your wife said he always meant to do well and just went about it the wrong way. Is that the conclusion you've come up with, Tim?
To do something no one has ever done before, out of 7.6 billion people, to run 9.78, and only have one man that has not been tied with anabolic steroids, which is Usain Bolt. But anyone else that has ran faster than me, except for him, has been tied with some type of anabolic steroid. I would say yes. I went about it because I only know how to go hard. And to achieve something that no one's ever achieved before, it's two things you got to do. You got to cheat, or you got to work harder than anyone ever worked before in their life. That's the only two things that separate athletes from each other.
Have you answered
those
the question?
Cheat and those that work harder.
Have you answered the question of why you decided to go on the cheating road?
Well, I'll answer tonight with you and with everyone that's listening. At 19 years old, I broke the world junior record, running 9.96, and it's never been broken. And for them to come back and say the track was 3 centimeters short, and then say, oh, we measured in front of the white line, then they come back and say we don't know where the wind gauge was, and still to go on in my career and run absolutely fast at a young age, and to see people that I was beating come and start beating me. And when I would go and try to get these big deals, they would say, well, so-and-so is in front of you. You have to beat Maurice Greene first. You got to do this. You got to do that. I said, the only way I'm going to do that to myself is by cheating. But it wasn't. I just didn't want to put in the extra hard work that I'm putting in now. When I went to prison, I trained so hard for free that it was ridiculous. When I was free and had the chance to train, I complained. Does that make sense?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. You had a lot of time on your hands, and you certainly did focus it in your training. Take me back to Gaffney, South Carolina. Tell me a little bit about growing up there.
Well, I come from Gaffney, South Carolina, known for football. It's a football town. Spot like Friday Night Lights, if you ever seen the movie.
Sure.
And if you wasn't a football athlete, you wasn't an athlete. Until Tim Montgomery made track and field Gaffney. Now Gaffney is known for Tim Montgomery in football. So coming up, my father wanted me to play football. I wanted to play football. I just couldn't. Football is a two-man sport. Well, my father happened to work and put food on the table. You need somebody to throw you the ball, and you need two people. And I just didn't have the two people. The people in the neighborhood, they just wanted to run up and down the streets and have fun. Wasn't nothing serious about it. So I came from an environment where my dad provided, my mom provided. I wandered over there on the other side of the road, and that what got me a mistake, because the people that live over there on that side of the road, and what I mean by that side of the road, is the ones that live inside the what we call ghetto or the underprivileged, they sleep in there. I was able to go to their house and go back home to a warm bed and refrigerate with food. I never separated the two.
Let me ask you about basketball and football, because that was what you initially played before trying out for track. And did you find that when you played basketball and football, that was your effort and other people on the court or on the field helping you, or are you helping them? But when it came to track and field, it really only came down to one person, Tim Montgomery. And were you more comfortable with that, Tim?
Yes, I was, because I'm one of a self person. What I mean by self person, I can be by myself. That's why prison wasn't so hard, because I can sit inside a room or inside the cell and be alone with Tim Montgomery. I can travel to China and never leave the room and just go out on race day. So yeah. Being running track and separate myself from a team and not being a player has always been Tim Montgomery. So it was very easy.
When you got to Norfolk State and you were in track and field there, you could have gone one of two ways there as well. You could have either been a distance runner or a sprinter. Tell me how that decision was made.
Well, it was just to take you back, my first college was Bland Junior College, and I came from South Carolina. And when I got there, in high school, I ran 10:33. And when I got there, Coach Silver said, I only weighed 128 pounds. And he said, no, you cannot be a sprinter. It's impossible. So he put me with the 8 and 400-meter runners, and I couldn't finish not a workout. And I was getting ready to get back on the bus and go home, and I called my father. And I told my dad, I said, hey, this is not working out. He said, no, you ain't got a place to come home to. If you come back here, you don't have a place to stay. So get back out there. And then my dad hung up the phone, called the coach, and the coach put me in my first race, which was at Arkansas, and I ran 10:20, the fastest time in the collegiate that year, a first race out. So that was very exciting. So that what changed everything.
Your personality has always kind of been inward. I know I read a story that said that you would go to the bookstore at the airport when you were at almost the height of your popularity and buy a book. Not that you would read it in first class on the airplane, but what was the reason for that?
Well, when I got up in my height and I was able to come from coach to first class, I wanted to fit in. It's kind of hard to fit in because everybody in first class, you know, they got the Rolex watches, they got the nice books, they got business going about themselves. As an athlete, all we have is what we do, and that's perform. So up there, they was reading books, and I wanted to fit in. So in the airport, I got to airport, went to the bookstore, and I was like, hey, what's your most expensive book here? And she was like, the most expensive book? I said, yeah, I just want the most expensive book that everyone knows about. And she said, okay. I got the book, never ever read the book, got on the plane, and the lady said, wow, that's a good book you got there. Have you started it yet? And I was like, just getting started today. You know, I was up there faking it. I was just wanting to seem like I was important and was more than an athlete.
As you grew in your career and became more and more successful, I often thought as I watched you along that you were probably on that tightrope by yourself. Did you have much of a support system around you to help you, Tim?
I did, but I didn't turn to him. That's the sad part. My father would always tell me what I know now that I didn't listen to then, if that makes sense. He will always tell me, my dad has a business degree. He went over to Vietnam. He graduated from Limestone College Night School. I became back from Vietnam. So he's that willpower, and that's that will that I get and that drive I get from him. But he will always tell me, but it was too hard for me to say, hey, I'm making $30,000 a race. I got a six-figure contract with Nike. What do you know about this type of money? So they was there, but I never felt like it's like, I coach kids now, and their parents be like, do this, do that. And the kids always tell their parents, well, you come and do it. And I got to correct them every time because I say it's not for them to come and do it. It's for you to do it. They don't have to do it. They're paying for you to get what you need from me, the best. So we always direct what we're doing and don't listen to our parents. Michael Jordan said it well. He said, my kids had everything. Do you see them in the NBA? No. Because to them, there he is just Jordan. He's not the basketball star. He's Jordan, their father. So I had the support team, but I never listened to it.
Tim Montgomery has joined us on Sports Byline USA, a very fascinating story on the field, in track, and also off the field in his life as well. And we'll continue talking about that. But he qualified for his first major international tournament in 1997 and won the bronze medal at those World Championships. And then 2 years later, he won a gold medal with the U.S. relay team as well. As I said, a very interesting person and a very interesting story. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.